Well, friends, we are continuing a series of messages from the Gospel of John, looking at miracles of Jesus that he did in the Gospel of John. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. We're going to be reading that chapter, John chapter 9, page 1525 in the Bibles in the racks, 1525, John chapter 9. We read these words, "As he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world.' After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pool of Siloam.' This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked him, 'Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?' Some claimed that he was. Others said, 'No, he only looks like him.' But he himself insisted, 'I am the man.' 'How then were your eyes opened?' they asked. He replied, 'The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see.' 'Where is this man?' they asked him. 'I don't know,' he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. 'He put mud on my eyes,' the man replied, 'and I washed, and now I see.' Some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath.' But others asked, 'How can a sinner perform such signs?' So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. 'What have you to say about him?' 'It was your eyes he opened.' The man replied, 'He is a prophet.' They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. 'Is this your son?' they asked. 'Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?' 'We know he is our son,' the parents answered, 'and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself.' His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, 'He is of age. Ask him.' A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. 'Give glory to God by telling the truth,' they said. 'We know this man is a sinner.' He replied, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see.' Then they asked him, 'What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?' He answered, 'I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?' Then they hurled insults at him and said, 'You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as far as this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from.' The man answered, 'Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.' To this they replied, 'You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?' And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, 'Do you believe in the Son of Man?' 'Who is he, sir?' the man asked. 'Tell me so that I may believe in him.' Jesus said, 'You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you.' And then the man said, 'Lord, I believe.' And he worshiped him. Jesus said, 'For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind.' Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, 'What, are we blind too?' Jesus said, 'If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, imagine a scene with me. Imagine a week-long festival of people celebrating the completed harvest, celebrating specifically God's goodness and blessings for his people, Israel, that he had provided them during their 40 years of wandering in the desert. That celebration week called the Feast of Tabernacles, commemorating that, has now begun in Jerusalem, and each night in the temple area now, as the darkness of night descends on the temple, four giant torches are lit. They are bonfire torches that light up the entire temple area. Torches that reach as high as the temple walls, 15 stories up. Each night for a week, same scene. The temple illuminated by the lights of these torches, and the priests and the elders of Israel dancing the night away in front of those flames. It's a night filled with celebration and light. After one of those festival nights, the next day, now the fires are extinguished, Jesus came preaching into the temple area. And Jesus came to the steps of the temple to talk to the people. John chapters 7 and 8 paint that scene for us, detailing how Jesus came to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the day he came, we get two chapters worth of his conversations with the people and his debates with the Israel's leaders. The same leaders who have witnessed night after night that incredible light from the torch fires breaking into the darkness of night. They seem to be arguing about who Jesus is, who Jesus claims to be. Some think he's deceptive. Some think he's truthful. Some say he's demon-possessed. Some are amazed at his teaching. Some are still furious that he healed someone on the Sabbath. Some have put their faith in Jesus. Some thought he might be the Messiah. Some thought there was no way he could be. Some thought he was a prophet. They're all having a hard time seeing, despite all this available light, just who Jesus really is. And in chapter 8, Jesus himself ratcheted up the controversy a few notches. He proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." His meaning is clear. He's the light. They are in spiritual darkness. Jesus follows that up with more fighting words. "You're from below, I'm from above." And another volley still. "You say you're children of Abraham, you're really children of the devil." And then he lands his hardest punch. "Before Abraham was born, I am." Clearly, he was not only aligning himself with God the Father, he was identifying himself with God the Father. The Father and he are one. But it all began in chapter 8 with, "I am the light of the world." "I am the light of the world," boldly said against the backdrop of those charred, perhaps still smoking torches that nightly lit up the night sky during that week. A scene that vividly portrayed the difference between the realms of darkness and light. Against that backdrop, Jesus said those words. Against that backdrop, he came to Jerusalem to preach. Against that backdrop, Jesus then leaves Jerusalem to bring his light, to bring himself into the world around him. Chapters 7, 8, 9 are supposed to all be read together. We just read the last one, 9, because they carry John's theme of light and darkness the whole way through them. As Christ leaves the temple area, it is a very conscious portrayal of what happens when light goes out into the world. For example, when light entered the darkness of this blind man, his life was changed forever. What did that day look like for the blind man? Did it look like this? "I was just outside the temple area, and of course I heard a commotion," heard it. "People are all talking about me again. Who sinned, his parents or him?" Same old question I get, as if it matters. But they were asking it of the rabbi, the one who had come teaching and preaching earlier that day. He didn't really give the answer I expected. He said something about light and darkness, that he has to work to do. He has some work to do because he's the light of the world. I didn't think much of it until all their footsteps came closer to me. And I heard him clear his throat, and I thought I was going to be spit on again. How many times has that happened? I lose track. Suddenly I felt something warm and wet cover my eyes. I think he put mud on my eyes. Then the rabbi spoke, told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I listened to him because when people tell me to move, I move. I found my way there, washed my eyes and face, and I still can't believe it. I saw light for the first time in my life. Light entered my eyes. And I can see you, Mom. Dad, I can see you. I can see you. I can see. Praise the Lord. I can see. Darkness to light. Blindness to sight. What a day for this man. The light of the world had entered his life. It wasn't quite the same for the Pharisees. And try to think through a journal entry of a lead Pharisee that day, beloved. He's writing about his day as he thinks back. We heard about a disturbance being made on the Sabbath day, and we caught up with the blind man, questioning, and there was not a lot of cooperation between us. He gave us some trouble, in fact, and told us some ridiculous story about spit and mud and washing, and soon this blind man was suggesting that the rabbi was a prophet. The audacity! So we moved on to his parents. Maybe this whole thing is a hoax, but they vouched for him. Said he definitely was their son and that their son had definitely been blind since birth. But they refused any more questions. They told us to ask their son himself. He's a grown man. So we summoned him again and suggested that he was mistaken because we knew the rabbi, Jesus, was a sinner. We pumped him for some more information. And then he got smart-alecky with us. Can you imagine? He asked us if we wanted to be this man's disciples too. He's convinced this rabbi is from God. Unbelievable. We threw him out. Later that day, I noticed that Jesus caught up with the man, introduced himself, and within moments, the formerly blind man was worshiping Jesus. We took that opportunity to have a word with Jesus. He actually accused us, mind you, us, of being blind ourselves. That our guilt remained on us. The gall. I tell you, he ruined a great festival. The way the torches lit up the sky that night. What a blot of darkness that Rabbi Jesus brought to our Sabbath day. And now you've heard the story from two perspectives. The blind man's perspective and leader of Israel's perspective. And we see the differences between the two. The leaders, they could not, would not, should not, ought not, did not. They refused to see the light. The night before, they had danced before the light, but now that it's day, they couldn't see the true light of the world right before their eyes. He had gone out into their world. They couldn't see him. The blind man couldn't have taken part in a dance if he tried. He was blind and in the dark, but the next day he heard Jesus, obeyed Jesus, believed Jesus, finally saw Jesus. He saw that the light had come into the world. Surely now he was dancing up and down with joy and delight. Those 15-story torch bonfires didn't hold a candle to the light of the world gone out into the world, gone out to him, gone out to light up his life. The leaders, they were in the dark, and they liked it there. The blind man, he was in the dark, didn't like it one bit. There were many differences in their stories, but what we're after tonight is the fundamental difference between them. That's what will help us understand this story as it relates to us. What was the fundamental difference between the Pharisees and the blind man? Here it is. The Pharisees didn't need Jesus. Not one bit. The blind man needed Jesus desperately. The Pharisees, they had their theology, their learning, their authority, their power, their status. They didn't need a thing more. The blind man had nothing. He needed Jesus desperately. They were in complete control of their lives and their destinies. They figured they had it all together. What more did they need? The blind man had no control whatsoever. He lived a life of reliance on everyone else. Everyone but himself. He needed Jesus desperately. The Pharisees didn't even realize how badly they needed Jesus. They refused to see it. They were in danger of the fires of hell, and they didn't see it. Living in the dark, they couldn't see it. Dancing around the lit torches, and they didn't see it. They looked at themselves and saw themselves instead as people with no need for a Savior. They just couldn't see it. They were blind to it. It was darkened to them. But the blind man looked at himself and saw. This blind man actually saw a person with a great need. His eyes were wide open to it. So was his heart. Even in his blindness, there was one thing the Spirit of God caused him to see: his need for a Savior. He needed a Savior. You know how sometimes you can't remember dreams and other times they stick with you? I had a dream a number of years ago that I'll never forget. It was horrifically realistic, as dreams often are. My subconscious mind kept telling me, well, this is actually happening, even though it wasn't. I was being chased. Chased dreams are terrible. I was being chased by a bunch of those awful, horrible, terrifying monster people, zombie people, whatever you want to call them. They were after me with their hideous faces to do one thing and one thing only: to snuff out my life. And I woke up from this nightmare, heart racing, cold sweat, scared stiff, you name it. Took a minute or two as dream sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, right, REM. It often takes a little bit to fully wake up from and move on from, but there was no denying it. This dream had, for a few moments, petrified me. This was a truly terrifying dream, a nightmare, a night terror. Maybe you've had one. I thought back to that dream, thinking about this sermon as it relates to what Jesus told those Pharisees and the people about them belonging to their father, the devil. Think about hearing that said about yourself. Jesus had told them that a little earlier that day. And I thought, my dream, getting chased like that, was nothing compared to the place the devil calls home. Nothing compared to hell, the fires of hell. My few moments of night terror were nothing compared to the fires of hell and its head resident, Satan. Now, in my dream, I could see I was in danger, even though it wasn't real, but the Pharisees couldn't see the greater danger they were in, and it was real. They couldn't see what they even needed a Savior for. They just couldn't see him because they just didn't need him. And that was the difference. The blind man needed Jesus for everything, and Jesus gave him the light of himself, the light of eternal life. The leaders didn't need him, didn't think they needed him, and so they stayed blind to the danger. Listen to the danger. The danger of the devil's eternal fire awaiting them. The question is then for us, for you, for me, do I really, truly need my Savior Jesus? Need him? Has my sin so burdened me that I need someone to release me from it? Has the reality of hell so terrified me that I realize I truly need someone to free me from it? Do I need Jesus? Need him to do that? Do I really, truly need my Savior Jesus? Or is my life satisfying enough. I got my ducks in a row. I'm happily self-sufficient, master of my own little world, with money, power, authority, strength, health, a measure of happiness. Do I even need Jesus? That's the question for all of us, isn't it? Do I need Jesus? Do I deep down believe that I really need Jesus? If I've got it all together, my life is going along fine, I'm in control, a lot of my stuff, my own little kingdom, I'm pretty much self-sufficient and always in control. I live a pretty clean life. I'd never admit it out loud, but sometimes wonder if I really need Jesus all that much. And a lot of the time, I would have to say that I certainly don't need him like the blind man needed sight. Beloved, if that crosses your mind, you are blind tonight. You are living in the dark. Because you're claiming you can see all on your own and you can be just fine on your own, but as Jesus says, your guilt remains. As Charles Spurgeon said it, it is not our littleness that hinders Christ, but our bigness. It's not our weakness that hinders Christ, it is our strength. It is not even our darkness that hinders Christ, it is our supposed light that holds back his hand. We need to hear this tonight, because surely all of us at one time or another have felt too big, too strong, too enlightened to admit we actually need Jesus. We've got it all under control ourselves, thank you very much. We'd never admit it out loud, but we've lived out the words at one time or another or more. Thanks, but no thanks, Jesus. Why don't you go help the blind man over there? I'm doing just fine without you. For all of us who have felt or feel that way tonight, or will, it's time to get real honest. It's time to stop pretending we can see and start realizing we are as blind as the blind man in the story, and we need Jesus. We need his forgiveness from our sins that he won for us as he suffered on the cross and died. We need his eternal life that he opened up for us at the empty tomb of his resurrection. We need his rescue. We need him to open our eyes, to fill our hearts with light, to satisfy our greatest and deepest needs. Put your need for him, the need that you have and sometimes forget you have, put that need in front of his face and he will satisfy you, heal you, fill you with true light, as he did for the man born blind outside Jerusalem, as he does for so many other blind men and women, girls and boys before us. He will do that for you and for me. So let's stop kidding ourselves. We're all that blind. We all need Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your gospel message as it is found in the Gospel of John, as your disciple John weaves that together through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Tells us all about light and darkness and what it means to be completely blind to our need for a Savior, Jesus. Well, enlighten us tonight through your word. Show us our need, that we are desperate for you, desperate in our need for you. Rescue us. Forgive us, move us forward once again. And when we are tempted to pretend we really can handle things by ourselves. Get us right back into this passage and show us our need once more. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I can invite the singing hymns back up at this time.